No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith today. We are going to round out your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, Captain Ed is on hiatus because he overdid it yesterday for Black Friday, and that was obviously on the heels of Thanksgiving. So he kind of put himself into a turkey coma, and then he went out there to the malls and got tripped up by some mob of crazy shoppers, and I don't know. It's 50-50 whether we make it back next Saturday, but that's the story we're going to go with this week, and until anybody corrects me, you'll just have to take it as fact, all right? And Keith, you'll back me up on this, right?
Absolutely. In the spirit of Thanksgiving, we're thankful that he's not here.
Okay. Or our gift to him, we're giving him a break. How about that?
There you go.
Now, filling in, or really...
Not.
No, he's not filling in. He's trumping Captain Ed this week. We got Tom Haynes from the AOPA, AOPA Live. Tom, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Greg. I'm doing really well. Things are going great. Great talking with you and Keith. Sorry about Ed. Boy, that's a shame about that whole turkey thing, huh?
Yeah, well, it happens to the best of us, and then people like Ed. So anyway, you know, we'll just go with that and leave it alone. See, that's what we do. We throw our co-pilots and flying friends under the bus or under the plane when they're not here to protect themselves. That's just part of being a pilot, isn't it, Tom? Or am I just kind of making this up as I go?
It is. No, it's all about being a pilot, throwing people under the propeller, so to speak.
Yes.
Trashing people in hangar talk and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. It just goes with the territory.
Part of the community.
Now, you have been traveling like a crazy man lately. I mean, the only way I know where you are is by watching AOPA Live. And at one point, you're in Vegas for the NBAA show. The week before that, you're in Australia, New Zealand, and flying all over the place. I mean, do you even know where you are right now? I kind of wonder.
I'm just catching up on the time zones right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I was in, as you said, down under for a couple of weeks, and then came back for a few days, and then went to NBA. So we're bouncing around time zones from, I think we were about 16 hours ahead of us. So then I was back to East Coast time, then I was back to Pacific time. So, yeah, not sure where I'm. Where I am, what time zone.
All right. Well, you got the holidays now to decompress a bit. And so you can reflect on some of these adventures. And, of course, you can follow his progress on AOPA Live. But we got him here in the, connected via the web today to kind of get a firsthand, more in-depth report from a personal perspective of what he's been up to. So let's start with the most recent, which I guess would be the NBAA show in Vegas, right?
It was. That was just a week or so ago. And, boy, what a show it was. That's the big jet show, which I think you've been to a time or two, where all the business jets are. One of the largest exhibit space shows in the country. Only like two or three convention centers in the whole country can actually host it.
Mm-hmm.
They had 18 airplanes in the exhibit hall this year, plus another whole bunch of them at North or down at Henderson Airport south of Las Vegas. So it's a really big show, 1 million square feet.
Now, did you see an uptick in business? That's kind of what we were hearing from our reporters last week and the week before, for that matter. But just there was seemed to be a lot more activity at the NBAA show. Did you get that vibe as well, or what?
Yeah, it was a good crowd, good vibe. People seemed to be in a good mood. Some interesting news coming out of the show. The airplane market is remaining soft. The General Aviation Manufacturers Association has put out their third quarter numbers recently, and sales are generally down compared to the same period last year. But nonetheless, the mood at the NBA show was pretty positive. There's quite a few new business jets in the pipeline that are going to be coming out in finally finished in 2016. Some of these have been in development for years. It's how long it takes to bring a business jet to market, 5, sometimes closer to 10 years. The Honda jet should be delivering by the end of the year. That thing has been in development for literally 25 years in one form or another. So
now, do you already have a planned flight on the Honda jet, or have you already flown one of the test flights? You're always in there.
I haven't flown. None of the media has been given the opportunity yet, and so I've been in discussions with them, and hopefully soon, within the next few weeks, I'm going to get a chance to fly that thing, which will be pretty exciting. It's really a remarkable jet with some interesting technology in it, and so it will be interesting to see what Honda does. It's their first entry into the aircraft market.
Interesting. Now, you know, last week we were talking to one of our roving reporters, and actually I think it was Abington. Wasn't it, Keith?
Uh-huh. He was, yes.
And she had mentioned something about seeing the Icon plane there at the NBAA show. Did you see this or no?
I did not personally see it, but I heard lots of people talking about it. It was creating a pretty good buzz.
Yeah, well, I was kind of surprised it was going to be at the NBAA show or they were doing something. But, you know, they're launching that little private plane. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine down in South Florida the other day who had heard that it was at the NBAA show. And he goes, well, look, me and my friends are planning a trip to Cuba. They're divers and boaters as well. And, you know, we got all these different radio shows I have to juggle. And so they're kind of crossing over a little bit. And he tells me about this adventure to Cuba they're planning to do on a boat that they have set up a special lift for the Icon airplane that they have purchased that they're supposed to take delivery on in the next month or two. And then they're going to go down to Cuba and then they'll use the Icon to fly parts that they can't get in Cuba from, you know, South Florida or the Keys or whatever, and it will land on the water, you know, well, as they're, mm-hmm. you know, cruising around the island of Cuba, and it'll, like, you know, go right up to the transom of the boat, and they have, like, this Icon kind of floating dock thing that'll lift the plane out of the water. I mean...
Sign me up.
Yeah, this sounds like a lot of fun.
It sounds pretty awesome. Obviously, I was talking to him. I was like, hey, don't you need a diving friend that kind of knows a little bit about
kind of experience I need.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm thinking we have to pull our resources here and make that happen. But that's maybe what I was thinking. They're working the Icon in the NBAA show in that sense, you know, working with some of the bigger corporate pilots that would use an Icon, what is a fun plane to do on their mm-hmm. own or something? I don't know. I mean, how does that work in the business jet world, I guess? Is my question with what they were doing.
Place is thick with pilots, and a lot of the guys, like you say, flying the heavy iron, the big jets, mm-hmm. Have some free time on their hands, and probably Icon thinks they might be good prospects for the airplane. Plus, in general, just a lot of really wealthy folks at that show,
well,
and some of whom might be just curious enough to buy something like an Icon to have fun in.
Well, you know, it is the day after Black Friday, so they've already done all their holiday gift-giving stuff, so now it's time to get something for themselves. So maybe today is the day to go buy an Icon plane, and that's what they were doing, a little holiday shopping at the NBAA show. But yeah,
I wonder if Amazon delivers those.
I wouldn't. Why not? It's kind of just a large drone.
They do it with a drone.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like just a giant drone, so to speak. I'm sure they'll make up some controller for it eventually. And of course, there is drone news that we got to talk about today with the FAA. But getting back to the NBAA show, were drones a big topic there too, or do they not really care about those so much there? What do you think?
No, drone seems to be a topic everywhere that there's any discussion of aviation of any kind. And so there were a couple of seminars at the show put on by people from the drone industry, educating pilots about what's going on in the drone industry, what the opportunities are from a security standpoint using drones and other applications. So, no, they were there too.
Mm. So, Tom, I got to ask you, what is your opinion? Is it regulation or is it education that we need to do with the drones? We had a show on this. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago on one of our shows.
Yeah, right. Only once we've ever spoke about drones, but regardless.
No, I think it's been more than that, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I think the most important part is education. I mean, you can regulate all day long, but if people aren't educated about why the regulations matter or why the regulations are in place, it doesn't matter. So in really, you know, safety equates to education, and that's what we're all about, is helping people who buy these things who are not pilots understand their potential impact on manned aircraft and the safety of others. And so we're working with the FAA and others in the industry to develop safety materials and also to invite these folks in. I mean, think about it from our standpoint as pilots. If there's, you know, a million of these things sold at Christmas, which is a number you get kicked around, mm-hmm. if even a couple of percent of those people at some point in the not too distant future get enthusiastic about aviation because of their drone experience and start taking flying lessons, you know, Keith and Ed, you guys will be able to retire. because there'll be so many new pilots coming into the system. So
I tried that once. It didn't work.
They wouldn't let you stay away?
No, I tried to retire, and it didn't work. I had to come back. So, you know.
Well,
but that's okay.
It does make sense. I could see drones being like a gateway drug to being becoming a private pilot. It makes sense. Same with the video game type of thing, right? Yeah.
I think it can certainly work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, who knows? And that's the positive side to it. I don't know. I know the pilots have to be a little bit conflicted. If they're not into the drone world themselves, they're probably saying, God, I don't want to have to deal with those. So I feel both sides of this argument or this conflict that we have amongst us. But we'll find a way to work it out. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio next with Tom Haines and obviously Captain Keith next. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
That's the spirit. Keep them flying.
1, 2, 3, like a bird I sing, 'cause you've given me the most beautiful set of wings. And I'm so glad you're here today, 'cause tomorrow I might have to go and fly away.
Hey! This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith. And helping us out this week and filling in for Ed, we have our good buddy from the AOPA, Tom Haines. You can see him on AOPA Live all the time. Or you can listen into Just Plane Radio every now and then, and he'll stop by and talk to us in between his travels. Now, you've calmed down a little bit for the holidays, but that's only after traveling literally from around the world. You know, NBAA show, we're kind of delving into that, but we'll get into New Zealand and Australia and some of this other crazy stuff you were doing before that. But any other little tidbits from the show in Vegas that you saw that you think might be noteworthy when it comes to, I don't know, new products and that kind of stuff? Or what do you think, Tom?
Yeah, no, there was, two things pretty interesting coming out of the show. One was a new engine from General Electric, a new turboprop engine that is literally a clean sheet engine where they've taken components from some of their big turbofan engines for the big airliners and the big business jets, and some components from the H-series turboprop line that they purchased from the Czech Republic a few years ago, and building this all-new turboprop that's a competitor to the PT-6, which is the Pratt & Whitney PT-6, which is the number one turboprop engine out there. So GE taking them on big time, and it Cessna announced that they're building a new single-engine turboprop around that engine. And that's the interesting thing about aviation is how power plants drive airframe design. And that's a perfect example of Cessna finally coming to market with an airplane because they found a power plant that's sized appropriately for the airplane they want.
Well, was the PT-6 was too big for Textron to do that kind of thing, or what? What was going on in that regard?
I think it's a matter of cost. We'll see how things shake out, although GE, as we know, isn't generally a low-cost option. But Pratt & Whitney hasn't had any real competition in that size engine in that 1,300 horsepower or 1,300 shaft horsepower range. So it could be more about correct pricing in that case. You can get PT-6s in that range, but this is a much newer technology engine with a lot better fuel specifics than the Pratt of that same size, better range, better fuel specifics, and in theory, lower maintenance. We'll see how that turns out. So,
it's just to say what kind of airplane, you said single engine, but is it bigger, smaller than the Caravan? Is it going to be kind of like the Pilatus?
Yeah, it's going to be close to the Pilatus by the sound of things, and about 12 seat range, obviously pressurized unlike the Caravan, and retractable gear. So it appears they're taking on the PC-12 and TBM-7 or TBM-900 to a certain extent, but probably a little bit bigger than that. Maybe not quite as fast either. We'll see.
Well, they got that new Hemisphere they announced as well, which is
they
had just the big tube on display. I saw the video of that.
Right.
Which seemed like kind of strange to me. It was like it wasn't even they didn't even have it like outfitted with the seats and stuff. They just had a big tube, like a culvert you could walk through. Hey, this is our new Hemisphere. What do you think?
did get the impression that maybe they weren't quite ready for the show, and somebody maybe said, we got to have something there, so they put that thing together.
Well, it's like, look, it's huge, which, that makes sense. They got that point across for sure. But, yeah, I mean, the fact that they're doing anything, I would say, is a good sign for the industry in general, and maybe that Pratt & Whitney, am I saying it right? Right?
Pratt & Whitney, yeah.
Yeah, if they're getting the competition from GE, that could only mean better things, hopefully, I guess, right? You think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be good for everybody.
Yeah. So
competition's always good.
Right.
Exactly.
So we got that, and maybe some of this will filter down to us more, just regular pilots and our little Cessnas and stuff eventually, even though they seem to be putting a little bit more focus on these corporate jets in that regard because of maybe the profit margins are bigger for them. I don't know. But
Boy, do you think?
It could maybe, be slightly. Yeah. I mean, when you see some of those displays, it's pretty remarkable that, they just set this up for a three-day show, and it's like we were talking about this the other day. Like, some of the displays are like over $2 million or some crazy amount of money.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah. So, so you got to follow the money, but it'll trickle down to us eventually, right? Yeah. That's what I tell Keith all the time. And then I say, can I borrow your credit card? Well, I got his credit card. He has one of those, credit cards with a much higher limit on it than I do. But so what else? Anything else catch your eye? We had heard about a little bit of that. Were they talking about these new headsets, by the way, that Lightspeed put out, where they're going wireless, or have they already done that?
They were there. Lightspeed had a booth there, and they were showing them off. One of our guys, Dave Hirschman, flew with a set just this week, and he's going to be reporting on it, but I'll give you a little insight.
Yeah.
He was a little surprised that it didn't work as well as he anticipated. Lightspeed's a great brand. I've got like six pair of my airplane, and I fly with them all the time and really like them. But we were a little surprised that at least this particular set, we're going to check back with Lightspeed to make sure that this isn't a defective set, but was the sound quality was not as good as you'd expect from a Lightspeed. Obviously, they're heavier. That's not surprising, given that the batteries are embedded in the headset itself.
Right.
But the sound quality wasn't that good. There was a lot of feedback. The idea of using a cell phone, making a cell phone via Bluetooth, which is pretty typical feature these days in a headset.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, whenever you got the cell phone anywhere near the headset, you got all sorts of feedback and RF,
interesting,
a lot of interference.
Well,
so
they'll
sounds
come
like
out
they
with
got some. Some work to do on that one.
Yeah, well, and an upgrade or whatever, they'll come up with some fix if indeed there's an issue.
I'm sure they will.
But, from what I saw in their press release when they did their little, webinar for the press, the one thing I did notice is it seemed to be based on their Zulu 2 technology as opposed to the PFX. So maybe they'll even come out with a newer version with, you know, more of crazy avionics in it, or, you know, whatever kind of juice they have in those phones to make them sound even better with noise cancellation. Who knows? We will see. But, you know, the fact that they're going that way, I mean, that's a good sign. And if they get it to work, that'd be awesome. For sure.
Yep, I think it's a good step in the right direction. I mean, nice to lose the cords, that's for sure.
Exactly. Less wires in the cockpit, for sure. And I'm sure the, you know, the business jet guys could appreciate that as well. I have no doubt. So so you saw a lot of stuff. You found a few toys, I'm guessing, to buy for yourself, didn't you? As we get closer, you know, into the shopping season, did you find anything that you thought, hey, you know what, I'd like to pick me up one of these? Did you see any of that at the NBAA show?
He found some things that he wants you to buy him.
Well, and I defer to Where's Keith that? And Keith's credit card.
Credit card.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here we go again. Always my credit card.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Tom? Did you see anything or no?
Well, I saw those gold-plated faucets that were going into the Falcon 8X, and I thought I might need some of those for the Bonanza.
Oh, there you go. That would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Can't fly without them. Really? Are you kidding me? They had like a Trump gold plated faucets there for their airplanes?
You can plate your faucets with anything you'd like, and they'd be happy to do it for you for the right price.
Well, I'm sure they would. Yeah. All right. So you saw that. But anything more reasonable or not so much? It's so far out as far as the stratosphere and prices and that kind of thing. It's just more like lifestyles of the rich and famous from your perspective, or what do you think?
There is a little of that going on. Yeah, I think most of that stuff is beyond me. Icon would be probably the closest thing, and even that's more than I'd want to pay for a two-seat airplane.
We got Keith's credit card. That's what that's for.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. And helping us out today, we got Tom Haines from AOPA. He just got back from the NBAA show. Now, that was Jimmy Buffett. Did you spend some time at Margaritaville there in Vegas at the show? Or did some of the people, you know, in the off hours go over there and have a cocktail or two?
Yeah. I may have had a margarita or two, yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering if Mr. Buffett was there himself. I mean, that's where the celebs show up. Right,
I didn't see JB there, but he might have been there with his caravan.
Yeah, well, I heard that. Let's see, Bombardier had. Last year they had. What's his name from Welcome Back, Kotter? John Travolta, and this year they had Steven Tyler from Aerosmith play at some party. So, did you see any other? You didn't see. You didn't hear about this. No,
William Shatner was there. Captain Kirk was there from Bombardier.
Really? What was he? Is he a pilot, or was he just there to impress everybody?
I think he was there just kind of as a spokesman for Bombardier, being a Canadian A.
And
all that sort of thing. He was there to support Bombardier.
All right. Or he's like,
I'm surprised nobody had you there, Greg, in your celebrity status.
Well, I was asked to be there. But that was from a bail bondsman from my last visit to Vegas, and a whole long story that we don't want to go into. But, yeah, I mean, William Shatner, I mean, he was there just for celebrity purposes. You don't know if he flies, do you? I mean, he flies to fly.
Enterprise. He's flying the Enterprise.
He's the ultimate captain. What am I talking about? That's of course he is. Yes. To boldly go where no man has gone before, and to sell cheap flights on Priceline still, I guess. But you didn't see any other celebs there at the show?
I did. Dirks Bentley was there. He was a keynote at the opening general session on Tuesday, and I was in the green room for a while and talking to him, and what a super nice guy. He's a big user of general aviation airplanes, flown to Cirrus a lot, just recently, as of 2 weeks ago, got his multi-engine rating, now flying a Baron, and he came out to the show in a Cessna M2 business jet, so he's been flying with some of the folks from Cessna in the jet, so he's really moving up the GA line.
And I like to hear that.
Got to go up to him and say, hey, Dirks, ever been drunk on a plane? And his security people come over and smack you around a bit, and then you're escorted off the premises. That's why I wasn't in Vegas. All right, more coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith, and also helping us out today, Tom Haynes from AOPA Live. Now, Tom, you were at the NBAA show, and then before that, you were doing just crazy stuff, flying all over the place, literally down under in Australia and New Zealand. What was that all about? What were you on a mission to do and cover exactly?
Well, mostly it was down to try to understand the impacts on the Australian general aviation community, the impact of user fees and privatized air traffic control. You know, they. Have you ever been to Australia?
I have, actually. I've been down. Okay. It's a beautiful country. I love that
place.
Yeah,
you've probably been diving there off of the Great Barrier Reef, right?
I was doing some stuff off of Queensland there, and went out and stayed on a boat for a few days. Just beautiful country. Australia in general kind of reminds me of visiting the South in the United States. Like, everybody has kind of like a Southern hospitality vibe to them.
Right.
I don't know.
Nice folks, definitely.
Yeah, actually, absolutely.
But I didn't understand until I started planning this trip just how big of a landmass that is. You know, you think of it, what's an island, right? Okay, it's a continent, but, you know, it's kind of an island, right?
Yeah.
But you lay it over the United States, and it's almost as big as the 48 states.
Right.
So when you start thinking about getting around on a landmass that size, you think, wow, what a great use of a general aviation airplane, particularly since so much of the country has very little road infrastructure. What a great place to have an airplane, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And 15 years ago, 20 years ago, that was the case. They were using GA a lot to get around the country. However, about, I don't know, 15 years or so ago, they implemented privatized air traffic control system supported by user fees. Mm. And it's just devastated the general aviation community down there. It is a shadow of its former self. And as a result, there's a lot of things from a productivity standpoint that just aren't happening anymore because people aren't using airplanes because they can't afford to. It was really, while I had a great time flying around parts of the East Coast of Australia, it was a little depressing talking to pilots, I got to tell you.
Yeah, well, but so that was the focus, to kind of dig in and find out what has happened to those guys over the last 10, 15 years, and because it is a topic of discussion going on right now in the legislative session with third-class medical, and the issue of user fees is still raising its ugly head as a possibility with the FAA funding source thing going on right now, isn't that still a possibility that they might throw user fees back at us here in the States?
Almost every budget cycle for the last 15 years, that's user fees has been in there. Fortunately, we've been so good at bringing together members of Congress with our GA caucuses in both the House and the Senate, the largest caucuses in either chamber. And so fortunately, we have a lot of support in Congress to the point that on the previous budget cycle, members of Congress, before the president even brought out his budget, sent him a letter and said, don't even put user fees in there for aviation because it will not pass. And so it wasn't even in there, but it was in this latest one. And again, once again, is not going to happen, mostly because of the great support we have with our friends in Congress.
Mm.
So it is a real threat here, however, both that, you know, privatized air traffic control is an issue we're watching very carefully. User fees are devastating, no doubt about it. And so the reason I went over there was to be able to report back of, here's what happens when you take a vibrant general aviation community and overlay user fees on it and see what happens. People just cannot afford to fly. It's such a fragile system that we have from a cost standpoint, and you lay on user fees, and it's just devastating. And it's happened everywhere in the world where you put in privatized air traffic control supported by user fees, it 100% of the time devastates general aviation.
Hmm. So did you take anybody with you, anybody from the General Aviation Caucus or anything go with you, or are you just going to be reporting back to them on your own?
I'm going to be reporting back on my own. We've had congressional delegations over there in the past to understand this, you know, the impact, and we certainly will do what we can to do it going forward as well.
Yeah, and I think I saw it was on AOPA Live a couple weeks ago. You were doing those reports about that specifically, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you find anybody in Australia that thought, hey, this actually is working really good for us? Or was it all negative like that? And they all like, oh, my God, what did we do to ourselves? Or we should have spoke up earlier and let it now look at us. We're looking for new jobs.
That's mostly the feeling is they recognize now how wrong it was for them to allow it to happen, and they're trying to become much more strident in their communications with the regulators over there, and they just have trouble because the community now is so small because so many people have left aviation. They're having trouble getting enough, you know, a mass large enough to get the attention of the regulators and to point out to them the ridiculousness of some of the levels of regulation that they've been burdened with. The Australian authorities seem to have this sense that, you know, it's 100% about safety, and that they intend on sort of setting themselves apart from the rest of the world with this, because they want this extremely high safety record. And so far, their safety record is not quite as good as the United States, so they have a ways to go. And B, they're achieving it by just driving everybody out of the sky.
It's going to be way safer, you know, if no one's flying.
Right. Exactly. Let's just ground all the airplanes. There's a solution, right? It's very interesting to talk to the pilots. I talked to some really sort of philosophical pilots who believe that there's a certain culture, a psychological part of the culture of the people in Australia because of their backgrounds of coming from a monarchy as a form of government, and then them being a penal colony as well. They're used to basically being told what to do, and also to kind of be there to serve the government. The idea of serving the monarchy is sort of embedded in their culture. And so therefore they recognize now that they were more receptive to the idea of the government saying this is a good thing for you.
Yeah.
And
just
and
roll over and take it.
Exactly. And so they're very observant of the what happens in the United States, which is whenever the government tells people over here anything, our first thing is to reject it because it must not be good because it's coming from the government.
Yeah.
And to start from that point of view, which is about 180 degrees from where they tend to start thinking about things. So interesting, you know, conversations in how they now recognize how they've got to change the way they interact with the authorities. Or they're never going to get any progress.
Well, so is that an argument now that they're using in the legislative caucuses there for the pilots, saying, you know, telling them like, hey, don't turn us into Australia. Look at them.
We do that all the time. We use Europe and Australia in particular as showcases for here's what's going to happen to general aviation if you implement user fees in this country.
Yeah,
Tom, is there any talk about how those countries are having difficulties getting pilots because they're not coming up through general aviation? So the airlines, and of course it's going to hit even greater later on as the general aviation begins to shrink. But you know, where are the future airline pilots coming from?
Well, it is a real problem, as you know, not so much in Australia, but certainly in the Middle East and in Southeast Asia. They look to Americans. A lot of Americans go over there and get jobs flying commercial airliners. In Australia, they are very worried about their future pilot population, where it's going to come from, because the flight training infrastructure has been so devastated by the closing of flight schools. They are turning to more of an ab initio approach, like we also see coming out of Europe and other parts of the world, where people get selected to be an airline pilot, and they start them out through their own programs and train them from the beginning to be an airline pilot and progress very quickly through general aviation. But it's a very expensive way to do it, and the training that they receive, as you may observe there, Keith, from some of your experiences in dealing with airline pilots, young airline pilots, is that they tend not to have a broad of experience level and decision-making capabilities as people who have grown up in a more slower, shall I say, general aviation experience, where you go out and get to do a lot of different kinds of flying and are put into situations where that are less controlled than you might in an ab initio environment. And therefore, your aeronautical decision-making isn't as mature for some of those folks as you might see as somebody who's flown, you know, having to flown in Alaska for decades, for example, and knows all about how to fight your way through a storm or get out of one.
You know, there's a lot to be said for that, Tom, you know, because I see a definite difference even between the 141, 142 schools here locally in the U.S., the pilots that come out of there and the pilots that come from a straight Part 61 flight school, where they have to make their own decision. They are pilot in command. They don't have an instructor 24/7 that they're in the airplane. You know, they can take and rent that airplane once they have got their private pilot certificate and go somewhere, which you usually can't do in a 141 or 142 school or in the ab initio programs. And so they have to be able to deal with weather, flight plan, and make all those decisions on their own. A lot to be said for that.
Yeah, there is.
We'll continue this conversation on the other side right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, Griswold, where do you think you're going to put a tree that big? Bend over and I'll show you.
Let's get away from sleigh bells. Let's get away from snow. Let's make or break some Christmas, dear. I know the place to go. How'd you like to spend Christmas on Christmas Island? How'd you like to spend the holiday away across the sea?
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
How'd you like
this is Just Plane Radio. Happy holidays to you as we get into the season. It's fair enough to throw in some Christmas music now. It's not too early. Thanksgiving is over, and we have Captain Keith helping us out, as well as Tom Haines from AOPA Live. Just got back from Down Under, and you also went to New Zealand, too. So you saw the Aussies, you saw the Kiwis, and is there aviation world kind of in turmoil in New Zealand, just like it is in Australia, you think, or what?
You know, there's some of that, but it's quite a different approach to it there in New Zealand. They have privatized air traffic control as well, like they do in Australia, and user fee based system, but it's much friendlier, particularly from a regulatory standpoint. That's a big issue in Australia, as we're talking about, is the regulatory environment that they have to deal with. And the Australian authorities tend to focus and mirror the European approach, which is very bureaucratic and heavily regulated, where we all think the FAA is highly bureaucratic and we're overly regulated, but relative to EASA in Europe, not so much. Mm. And the New Zealand authorities tend to look to more to the United States and tend to more reflect the FAA approach to regulation than the Australians would mirror the Europeans. So much more pleasant environment, I would say, for general aviation in New Zealand. They are investing in their airports and their general aviation airports, and there are literally grass fields and dirt fields all over that country. I mean, they are the side of mountains, down in the fjords. Everywhere you turn, there's a really interesting little runway tucked away somewhere, and we saw lots of them landed on a few of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, did you see Lord of the Rings? I mean, come on. There's a hobbit on every corner. You can, you know, just land in one of those little gully things and hang out with all those folks. Yeah, it's very, very beautiful country. I mean, Australia is too, but New Zealand, oh, my God. I would imagine just flying around and just looking outside the window of your airplane is an impressive sight. Am I wrong?
It was. It is a remarkable. We stayed at a place called the Fly Inn, which I highly recommend. Fly Inn, I-N-N, mm-hmm. New Zealand. And it's a couple named Matt and Joe, and they're both pilots. They have two 172s that they keep on their 8,500-acre sheep station called Geordie Hill, and they have 5,500 sheep. And we were there, just a couple of weeks ago when it's spring down there. So the lambs, they've just birthed all these lambs, and so it's great fun to be there. Grass strip on that property, and both being pilots, and they have some other pilots that they lean on as well. They invite guests in. They've got two extra houses on the property where guests stay, and they have these itineraries that you go fly. And it's like an 8-day one, 11-day one, a 17-day itinerary, and you do all this flying in their 172s all around the island, or even up some cases up to the North Island. They're on the South Island. We did it all on about 4 days, so we had kind of a compressed schedule. But it is remarkable flying. It is the most spectacular flying I've done anywhere in the world. That was my sixth continent. The only continent I haven't flown GA on is Antarctica. So maybe that's more spectacular. But, Australia, I guess, was my sixth one. New Zealand being down there, too. But it was just remarkable flying. And they know the area so well that you can safely fly down in the fjords and at the mountaintops. Another interesting thing, if you've flown in the west, the mountain west of the United States, you know, you're dealing with really high mountains, you know, 14,000 and higher mountains routinely, and wind, density, altitude, all these kind of things are out to haunt you. The mountains in New Zealand, which are every bit as impressive as the Grand Tetons in the United States, are only at about 8,000 feet. So in a 172, particularly these were 180 horsepower 172s, no big deal. You're tooling around right at the top and looking right at Mount Cook, which is the highest point in New Zealand at 8,000, 9,000 feet. And it's no problem at all for the 172. It does just fine in that environment. And they are spectacular. Why? And they rise immediately up out of the sea. So they're very impressive, unlike our Rockies, which, you know, the base of the Rockies is 5,000, 6,000 feet. So when you go up to 14,000, 15,000, 16,000 feet, it's not all that impressive because you're not seeing the entire mountain. You're only seeing the top part of it, where in New Zealand you see the whole thing. It's very impressive.
Yeah, why?
So you like it even better than Alaska? Because you were pretty hyped up on Alaska.
Yeah, you know, I am a little bit like, you know, best friend whomever I just left, right?
Yeah. But,
yeah, Alaska is pretty spectacular too. It's a very different environment. Obviously, the weather conditions are much more benign in New Zealand, so it's a lot easier to get around. A lot less, I would say, stress flying in New Zealand because they don't have the serious cold.
What are you doing in New Zealand? You know, when you're flying from one spot to another, and you're obviously enjoying the scenery, but what are you landing and getting out of your plane and going shearing a sheep and making some butter and then hopping back in your plane and flying to some other place? What are you doing when you wander around?
Well, you're flying around looking at a lot of scenery. We landed on a beach one day and hung out on the beach for a while.
Cool.
And went to a place called Milford Sound, which is a famous fjord runway, and there's a restaurant there, and you can hike. You know, there's hiking everywhere. You know, my wife and daughter were along for part of the trip. They went bungee jumping in New Zealand. I stayed behind and took photos. Figured I'd collect the insurance money, but.
He doesn't sound like he likes bungee jumping.
Wait till we get him on a zip line. Yeah,
no, zip line I'll do. I've done
you'll
zip
do
line.
Zip line. Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, and I've jumped from an airplane one time.
But you came home with your little souvenir Lord of the Ring, though, didn't you? You did
get
one of those.
Of course. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I got. And we brought a Hobbit back, too. They're just everywhere down there. So
exactly.
We needed one.
Good luck charm, for sure. Well, no, that just sounds like an amazing adventure, but just one of the many things you can do if you're a private pilot. And you can kind of follow the flight plan of Tom Haynes. Of course, you can follow him on AOPA Live and see some of this stuff that we've been talking about. But, Tom, thank you so much. It was awesome. And
hey,
what
great
a way
to be with you guys.
Yeah, what a way to kick off the holiday season. You think, Derek Heath?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's always great to have Tom with us.
We'll leave it at that for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I'm Snoops.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.